Thank you. And we're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest a Republican candidate for mayor of Providence in 2014, Daniel Harrop. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
Superior Court Judge Michael Silverstein ruled this week that most of the lawsuit over the failure of 38 studios can move ahead. Scott, from where you sit, who are the winners and losers in the judge's decision?
Well, the winners are the taxpayers, potentially, because this is probably the only way we're going to recover any of this money. The losers are, I guess, some of the people who hope these charges would be dismissed, and they aren't. The biggest loser is probably Wells Fargo, which is a huge financial institution, had $20 billion in profits last year. They're still on the hook in this case, and the judge said some pretty harsh words for them, getting hidden commissions, misrepresentation of the bonds that they ended up selling.
Daniel Harrop, what was your takeaway from the judge's ruling in this matter?
Oh, I think it's a big win for the voters, mainly. I think we're going to see how this insider deal got done as the legal process goes on, and I think that's going to be really revealing to our voters.
What do you say, Maureen?
I agree. I mean, I think the most important thing is here we have the capacity now to possibly recoup some of the money that we're going to have to pay. Secondly, we'll get a better picture on how these deals were done. The only concern I have in terms of the losers are the public employees that are being charged in terms of their salaries and so forth. The judge rejected the public service defense, but I wonder if this doesn't cast a chilling effect on members of boards like this, as well as employees of these boards, in terms of doing state government business.
Let's move on to some questions for our special guest, Daniel Harrop, who seeks to be the next mayor of Providence. Dan, you've been very persistent over the years in running for different offices, mayor, general assembly. Why is running for mayor as a Republican, where there hasn't been a Republican councilman even since in more than 20 years, why is this the best use of your energy to run for mayor next year?
I think that we need to get the Republican voice out there in this particular race. There may be 6, 8, 10 Democrats. They're going to have various ideas for the city of Providence. I think you need to hear from the Republican Party as well, and from a moderate conservative Republican, as I am, in order to get some ideas on how to move this city forward.
Let's go to Maureen Moakley.
I agree. I mean, I think we do need a Republican voice, especially given sort of the character of the Republican Party in this state. We need, we need to hear from all these sectors. My question to you is, there's a sort of talk about Buddy Cianci running as an independent. What would you think of running with Buddy as an independent? In other words, what do you think about a three-way race, and how would your strategy change?
Well, we know that there's very few Republicans in this city. I think it's 4% registered Republicans. I think a third voice would actually be good to up the discussion on what needs to be done. I'd actually appreciate that and look forward to that, to increase the discussion.
Let's go to Scott.
Let's talk about issues briefly, Dr. Harrop. What do you think you'll be able to do if you did become mayor?
If I did become mayor, I think that will be then we'll get some truth and some reality as far as our finances and budget. We're continuing to see cutbacks in the city, which are going to continue unless we do something about the budget.
Well, what would you do?
Okay. I think that the mayor missed a huge opportunity in redoing some of the pension funds with the unions. It's going to have to be done again. And I think we're going to have to do it once and final, not continue to patch. I would like to get it done and fixed on a final basis, as opposed to just patch for a few years.
The Service Employees International Union is moving ahead with an effort to organize about 600 child care workers in Rhode Island. This comes after the General Assembly this year made it possible for the state-subsidized workers to unionize. Daniel Harrop, what do you think about this? Is this good or bad for taxpayers?
I think it's bad for taxpayers. I think it's probably bad for the workers. This is very risky on their part to add some type of general union dues and oversight with this type of thing, and to take away some of their independent contractor type of benefits at this particular time.
How about you, Maureen? What do you say?
I think generally I applaud the idea that the unions are attempting to help low-wage workers. That's a real problem in terms of trying to make a decent living working 40 hours a week and not have to subsidize with public assistance. My concern, of course, is that this is linked to the state. So the question becomes, to what extent, either now or down the road, these workers indeed become state workers. We have examples from other states that suggest that this may be an expanding situation where ultimately the state of Rhode Island, who can ill afford to hire more people, will be responsible for these workers. But I do applaud the move toward unionization.
The national head of the AFL-CIO recently described a state of upheaval in the labor movement. Scott, does this reflect a need by labor in Rhode Island to get more new members and more diverse members?
Well, that's obvious that it does. But contrary to what Mr. Harrop thinks, these people vote themselves whether they want a union or not. It's not, you know, where somebody flies out and says they impose dues and things on people. They vote. It's the workers' choice.
So
and
if frankly, the majority, but it's the majority,
that's
not
correct.
Everybody.
That's correct. And that's democracy, isn't it? That's how we do business in America. And the other thing is this will lead to better benefits and pay for people who frankly really need it. And they're mostly women, too.
This week marks the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. There has been progress, to be sure, but there also remains a disproportionately high rate of unemployment among Black Rhode Islanders compared to other Rhode Islanders. Scott, what are your reflections on the March on Washington 50 years later?
Well, it was a fantastic thing. One thing I'd like to ask Mr. Harrop, which was interesting, is not one Republican spoke yesterday at the 50th anniversary. And I thought that was very strange because it's around, if you go back and look at the Voting Rights Act, the civil rights bills, some Republicans did support that. But it looks like the Republican Party has veered so far to the right on a national level that people can't even commemorate the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech. The other thing about the economy is we used to have an economy that seemed to lift all boats. Now it seems to just lift the yachts.
Well, let's go to Daniel Harrop. What do you say in terms of Scott's comment?
I don't know that any Republicans were invited at this particular time to speak. I thought it turned in, unfortunately, because this is a great event, into a very political event. I thought the president's speech started out great, and then he veered off into talking about people who want to take the country in other directions, broadly hinting at it's the Republicans who want to take it in the wrong direction.
Maureen, what do you say about how much progress has been achieved? What needs to happen to bring about greater progress?
Certainly, there's been tremendous progress, but there is work to be done. I think the whole idea of poverty and a lack of education, I think to the extent that, for example, in our state, that we can improve workforce development, vocational development, allow an easier path for minorities, particularly to access higher education. We're moving in the right direction, and there's been fantastic progress, particularly seeing Barack Obama giving the speech. But nonetheless, we have some work to do, and we have to acknowledge that.
One of the problems is the institutions that you work with, Maureen, is higher education. What we're doing is we're pricing education out of the reach of a lot of poorer residents. A good example is URI's tuition has gone up almost 50%. In the last 5 years. That's the highest in New England, except for New Hampshire. And what you're doing is you're pricing an entire group of people out of it. Now, part of this is the fact that the state has not made the investments in higher education that it should. It's cut URI's budget. And what we're doing is we used to be a society that gave people a hand up, where we had better public services. And now, for whatever reason, we're not.
I think the real thing here is I totally agree in terms of the legislature cutting funding. But the real issue to me is what we do in terms of CCRI. I mean, that's the link for minorities particularly to get started on this path. I agree with what you're saying as far as all the institutions. But in any case, actually, Rhode Island URI is regarded as a bargain in some fields when they look at more bang for your buck.
Let's get 30 seconds from Daniel Harrop on what you would do to improve the Providence schools if you became mayor.
I think we need to link much more carefully with the colleges at this point. You have Mount Pleasant High, which has significant difficulties essentially abutting Rhode Island College. You have Hope High essentially down the street from Brown University. I would much more partner with the universities that are here and will stay and have been here for centuries to improve our schools.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Daniel Harrop, Republican candidate for mayor of Providence in 2014.
Thank you very much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.